Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulture, landscape designer, and garden author. I am a mother and a proud grandmother of 11 beautiful grandbabies, including Bella. Bella's listening this morning, so it's Jackson, McKenna, Madison, Bella, Reagan, and Emma, and Cadence, and Katarina, and Xavier. And so I think I got all of them in there.
Wow, that's crazy. Number one, that you have 11 grandkids. But number two, I hope none of them get in trouble altogether, because you will have a hard time busting out the right name. I mean, you know, how as a parent, like you're like Thomas Jackson, you know, whatever your name is.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. I'm one of six, and we would wait until our parents said our name: Stephen, Teresa, Jean, Christina, Margie, you know, Sarah, and we go, "Oh, she hasn't said my name yet. I don't have to stop what I'm doing." So yes, yeah, so happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. I just think it's one of the best things in the whole world. I love my babies, and so. If you can be babies to any of them. So, you know, happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. Let's hear from John Denver.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is mother plant. And I have three definitions for mother plant. And it is a horticultural term used for a plant that is kept alive in the vegetative state for the purpose of cloning. It is the original plant after cuttings, buds, or other organs or tissues are removed for vegetative reproduction. The mother plant is the most important plant in a nursery. This plant provides the cuttings that produce the next generation of plants. The mother plant, therefore, needs to be looked after particularly well. Cough, hint, hint. And mother plants should be selected for sought-after characteristics such as potency, growth patterns, and vigor. And they must also be free from bacteria, viruses, and other disease organisms. The second definition is, a mother plant is a collection of selected mature plants kept alive for an indefinite period of periodically renewed and cultivated for the production of certificated seeds after controlled pollination. In seed production and vegetative propagation, a collection of mother plants, especially perennial plants like cactus and succulents, are a selection of mature plants, usually two or more for each species. They're kept alive for an indefinite period or periodically renewed and cultivated. The third definition is a mother plant in hybridization. The mother plant is the plant or species that is pollinated in order to create hybrid seed. So the dirty word of the day is mother plant. And the perfect text message came in from Jimmy in Apopka. He says, I have beautiful 24-inch plus pentas that are from last year. Should I trim them back? You can if you want. How can I propagate them? So he can create his own mother plants. What you do is you take a clipping off of a stem, which is a soft stem. The, you know, pentas are perennials. About 8 inches, you strip the bottom leaves off, you put it in soil and water it. And it will reproduce. It will grow roots and become another plant. So great question. Right timing is wonderful for our definition of the day, dirty word of the day, mother plant. So I do appreciate it. If you did not get our May newsletter, it's our free subscription. We're just starting our newsletter back. It's called In Your Backyard. And you can go to betterlawns.com and download it. But you can also subscribe for free, no spam. We will send it to you each month so that you have it in your email box and you will know exactly what to do. I also give my design tips and also different, my favorite plants, and you can have access to all of our sponsors for Better Lawns and Gardens. So it will also give information on my gardening tours where you can go with me to various national public gardens, botanical gardens, private gardens. We have such wonderful trips. We go to such beautiful, beautiful gardens. And so if you're interested in going on a garden tour with me, check out the newsletter. Also drop me a line at teresa.watkins@live.com. Put trips in the subject line and I will make sure that you get information on it. And so we will have that. So what to do in the month of May, we can carry it on to making sure that you control rose pests by using systemic products for insects, not watering the foliage. You don't want to get water on your rose leaves, and then also providing good air circulation so that you have roses separated so that the air can go around it. That's the best way to prevent diseases. Pick up any kind of diseased foliage on the ground. You want to be very clean with roses. And then also using a systemic fertilizer and insect and disease control is just the easiest way to do it. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have Jeff Wachulski coming up to talk about tropical exotic fruits. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We're fortunate in the state of Florida to be able to grow fruit trees year-round, harvesting it whenever, you know, we have different varieties of fruits that we can harvest year-round too as well. And so I wanted to come on that talk about some of the exciting trends for exotic fruits. And joining us right now is Jeff Wachulski, and he is the Commercial Fruit Crops Extension Agent for the University of Florida, an Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, and Miami-Dade County in Homestead. He's a horticulturist, educator, dog lover, and proud dad. Jeff strives to educate commercial tropical fruit growers on how to improve their sustainable, research-based horticultural practices. He loves being an extension agent, and he shares 25 years of his horticultural experiences through classes and workshops, publications, blogs, and social media. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Wonderful. I love how you know all about tropical fruits, especially the exotic ones. I mean, we know generally about orange trees and limes and bananas and all of those, avocado. Those are trees we find on a regular basis. But you have knowledge and experience with growing very tropical exotic plants, and some of them do well here in Central and North Florida. So beginning wise, because we talk about North Florida, Central Florida, and South Florida, what is a temperate climate?
Temperate climate would be something where it never gets too hot, never gets too cold. So I would say somewhere, you know, little pockets in California and things like that. You know, I'm the commercial tropical fruit agent, so I like to think more about subtropical and tropical. So subtropical would be kind of zones 10 and down, and then tropical, which I'm the tropical agent, but there's no tropical areas in Florida. Tropical means it never freezes.
Right, and so even Key West will occasionally get a freeze.
It's possible.
Yeah, and so let's talk about five of your favorite tropical fruits. And so, you know, the pros and cons and how they taste. What is your favorite fruit?
Well, my favorite fruit would be mango, but that's more of a normal tropical fruit. So some of the more different ones, and we do grow about 20 different tropical fruit in South Florida commercially. And some of the ones that I really like, and these are not in any specific order,
okay,
are lychee. I really like lychee. This is one that has a white flesh. It's small, about a little bit smaller than an old school silver dollar, and there's mm-hmm. many of them together. And it sort of has a hard shell that you break open and you eat it. Has a really beautiful seed. The tree itself is a gorgeous ornamental tree. It's really pretty.
And so I will tell you, last about 2 years ago, I was working in a landscape in Oakland, and we moved a 15-foot tall lychee tree to the backyard, and it survived, and it's doing great. I'm so...
Oh, that's awesome.
It is, and it's a beautiful tree. I loved that we were able to save it. Okay, so is there anything particular about lychees that we need to know if they wanted to grow them? What is the best conditions for them?
Well, there's actually two main things that you need to know, and one of them is not good news.
Uh-oh.
So the first one is, even though we think of it as a tropical fruit tree, it actually needs, sort of like a peach, it needs banked up cold hours to properly flower and fruit. So down in South Florida, as things get warmer, we're having more and more trouble getting our lychees to flower and fruit. So mm-hmm. if you go a little further north, you're having more success.
What is the coldest temperature it can take?
Well, most of our tropical fruit trees, they can go just a hair below freezing, but not for long.
Right. And that's really the crux of the matter, is it can go below 32, or it can freeze, but it's how long it stays freezing that damages the fruit, right? Or the tree.
The tree, right. So there's how long, how many times it happens, because it could go one night and then again the next night. Mm-hmm. And then the age of the tree. So a young tree going to have much more problems than an older tree that has a thicker trunk.
Wonderful. So your next favorite tropical fruit?
Well, the second thing about lychee that I didn't get to mention is that it has a new pest to South Florida called the lychee arenose mite that's doing really major damage, and it's a microscopic pest. It gets in between the leaf, and it just kind of gets in there, almost impossible to get rid of. So that's kind of a little bit of a negative.
It is, and you know, we get so many, you know, imported, and you know, just here accidentally, you know, insects that I just hate to hear we have one more. That's terrible.
Yeah, and I mean, South Florida, or Florida in general, is a perfect spot because it's warm. There's so many different types of trees and plants. We have ports, we have airports. You know, it's the perfect spot for everything just to kind of mix together and be trouble.
Well, I'm disappointed to hear that. Well, hopefully try a lychee tree, and maybe, you know, we have a few more years before it spreads throughout the state, so we can do that. So what is your next fruit?
Okay, so better news from here on out. Next one is cannistel, and lychee is a really big tree. It can get to be like 50 feet. Cannistel will stay smaller, and I like smaller trees because they're much easier to pick the fruit. You know, you think about a 50-foot tree, mm-hmm. mango, avocado, lychee, you're going to need a picking pole to get that fruit up top. So there's ways you can keep them smaller through pruning, but cannistel is one that really takes well to pruning, meaning that when you prune it, it kind of does what you want. The fruit is a little bit bigger than an apple. It has a little point on it. It's bright yellow. It's also called the egg fruit, and inside the flesh is like a hard-boiled egg. It's similar in texture, and it looks the same.
Wow, that's interesting. And is it a sweet fruit? Is what does it taste like?
It's not sweet, and what you would do with it is you mix it, you know, in a sort of like a shake, or with ice cream, and that's really the best way to eat it.
Okay.
Sort of like dairy products.
And what time of the year do you get the fruit?
Well, right now mine has flowers on it.
Uh-huh.
So I would imagine, August, September.
There you go. All right, super duper. And no, any pest issues with Canistel?
No, it's really hardy.
Oh, wonderful. The next one, what surprises with your next one?
Okay, this one's a big winner. And by big, I mean it's the largest tree-borne fruit in the world. That's jackfruit. It can get up to 50 pounds.
One fruit can get up to
50 pounds. So they're monsters. And they're kind of the shape of a watermelon, but they have little spikes all over them. And as they get more mature, the spikes kind of flatten out. And then you would pick it, let it ripen up a little bit. And then inside it's got a lot of latex. So when you open it up, this big monster, you're going to use like vegetable oil on your hands and on your knife. And then inside it has all sort of like a cob of a piece of corn. It has all these little nodules. And inside each one of those is a big seed that you can also eat. And jackfruit, a lot of times vegans will use it sort of in place of meat because it has the same texture.
Wow. And is it sweet or sour or?
It's been called like sort of like juicy fruit gum.
Okay.
And some of the cultivars are like a soft flesh and some are firm. I prefer firm.
Okay, and so you can get different varieties of jackfruit.
Yes, and varieties is important because you think about mangoes, you have Glen, you have Kit, you have Kent, you have many different varieties, and each one of those is separate, and they're different. They have different flavors, they have different colors, little different sizes, and you can only maintain those cultivars by grafting. If you grow up by seed, it's going to be something else, because the mother was a Glen, but the father pollinated it, so it's not the same when it grows from seed. Just like you're not a twin of your mom, it's a mix.
Right.
So you got to have them grafted.
Okay, super. And what is your next one?
We're going to go with sapodilla.
This is our favorite one. I just gave Lizzie a sapodilla tree. Oh, my goodness. Okay, tell us about this one.
Yeah, sapodilla is also called nispero or chico sapote.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally used sort of as a gum and to chew. And the fruit itself sort of got a little brown scruff on it.
Mm-hmm.
Inside it's brown also.
Mm-hmm.
And the flavor is like brown sugar. It's delicious.
It's wonderful. All right. And then your last one?
Carambola, which is also the star fruit. And carambola is a smaller tree, so I like that a lot. It's yellow. When you cut it, it looks like a star. It's probably about 5 to 6 inches long with all these ridges like a star.
Mm-hmm.
And the other great thing about it is it has multiple crops per year. So you really have a lot of fruit, and you get it throughout the year.
And they're delicious. Real quick, I have Muggsy from Daytona Beach. She asked if there's any varieties of pawpaw that will do well here in Central Florida. Do you know about the pawpaw?
Pawpaw is out of my range. That's further north.
Okay.
But I think it's possible.
Wonderful. All right, I'll look that up, Muggsy, and we'll get that to you, that information. We'll get that to you. Jeff, thank you so much. Where can people get exotic fruit trees?
On my webpage, there's a list of tropical fruit nurseries. So if you Google Miami-Dade Extension Tropical Fruit, you'll find it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jeff. I'm looking forward. I'm going to try that jackfruit. And I'll be I don't know how I'm going to carry it home in the car if it's 50 pounds. Thank you so much, Jeff. And that's Jeff Wachulowski. And he is the commercial tropical agent in Miami. Thank you so much. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'd like to thank Jeff Wachulski, the commercial tropical fruit agent, and just giving us his favorites down for South Florida and for Central Florida. You want to make sure you're growing the right zones. Check with your extension office or give me a call. And just like Muggsy did, and I'm going to address her pawpaw question in just a minute. But I wanted to know a little bit more about jackfruit. So it is the national fruit of Bangladesh. A mature jackfruit tree can produce about 100 to 200 fruits a year. And the fleshy petals is what's really eaten. It does have the latex, a sticky, like milk, sap on it when cut into. But the life of this tree is 60 to 70 years. The fruit can grow up to 3 feet long, and 18 inches wide. And the surface is covered with blunt, thorn-like ridges, which will soften as the fruit ripens. Jackfruit is related to figs and comes from southern India, where they have been grown for 5,000 years. It's the largest fruit growing on a tree, and the fruit can sometimes, Lizzie, weigh up to 80 pounds.
Oh, wow. I've seen they're huge.
180 pounds, yes. And so now you know jackfruit.
That's good stuff.
There you go. Now, Muggsy, great question. And so I want to tell you that the University of Florida recommends the three different varieties, Mango, Collins, and Overlease. Okay, so Mango pawpaw tree, okay, for its vigorous growth. And then Overlease has large fruits. And Collins is a good choice of a pawpaw for the South that will grow well. Okay, and that's recommended by the research done by the Kentucky State University. So that's for all of the South. Now, I will tell you, Muggsy, you really should go and talk to Dana Venrick at Quality Green Specialist because he can get you those pawpaws, okay? And he can talk to you, and he may even have some available. So just Google Quality Green Specialist, qualitygreenspecialist.com, and you will be able to get a hold of them, and you can find out. So great question. I love pawpaws. I love seeing them in the woods. And they are a wonderful, wonderful resource for wildlife and also for resources for native plant landscapes. And so it is also, pawpaws are also the host plant for the zebra swallowtail caterpillars. And that butterfly is the only kite swallowtail native to the United States, and pawpaw is its host. So if you get pawpaw trees in your yard, then you will be able to see the zebra swallowtail, and that would be really kind of cool to see. So we thank Jeff and appreciate that. Now is the time for your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Still broken pelvis.
Oh, no.
Using my walker and my cane.
Oh, yeah. You got to exercise and keep that up.
No exercise allowed.
No?
Bed rest.
But I mean, a total bed rest. You can't get out of bed?
They don't want me to, but you know what? I still get out of bed. I can't stay in bed all day.
No, I understand that. No, I couldn't.
No.
But that's kind of interesting because the pelvis, broken pelvis, and they don't want you to walk. Whereas when with hip surgery, Tony, they want you walking right away. But is it because you broke it?
That's what I did. It's broken through. Oh. I mean, so I'm on something to rebuild the bone. But I'll be fine. Then I still get up and walk.
Which we won't tell your doctor.
I have to get my coffee. I'm on the porch.
Oh, well.
And I'm looking at the little babies sticking their heads out of the birdhouse.
I can hear them.
No. I have all kinds of birds around
here.
Oh,
my goodness. Okay, so that's
a crazy woodpecker that goes from feeder to feeder. He can't make up his mind.
What he wants to eat. Well, yeah. I hope you still feel better soon. Happy Mother's Day.
That's what I was calling you for, to wish you a happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen. We miss your calls, so call in often so we can keep up on your progress.
Oh, I will.
All right.
Okay.
Okay,
right,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Jean and Stewart. Good morning, Jean. How can I help you? Good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was expecting you already. You said you were going to a break, and I was getting comfortable.
Well, she was quick. She's John on the spot. She wanted to get Jean in.
I have, I think it's amaryllis is correct. It's a flower that sort of blooms the same time Easter lily blooms.
Yes, amaryllis.
Okay. The bloom's gone, and these pods at the base of the bloom.
Okay.
Now, are seed pods?
Yes, they are.
So what do I do with them?
Okay, so they're nice and green and soft and fleshy when they first appear, and you want to wait till they dry on the stem, okay? I kind of leave them on till they dry on the stem, and then once it is dry, they're going to start to open, and you can go ahead and just clip it off and put it in an envelope and plant it for next year. Or you can just put them in the ground now, and you will get more plants starting right away.
Now, are these individual seeds, or is this sort of the pod?
That is the pod. You're going to have probably between, 35 to 50 to over 100 seeds in those. They're really paper thin, and when they're ready to plant, they'll be nice and black.
Okay, so I plant individually.
You can, yes. Or you can just sprinkle them around your garden.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious. You can. They will come up.
Now, they sort of came up at a place where I only have one. Now I got two.
There you go. They multiply.
Come every year.
Yes, they will. And they may bloom again. Sure. Go right ahead real quick.
We just came back from Netherlands. And had a tour of the tulip garden.
Yes,
and went around some of the tulip fields to look at them. What a marvelous sight! But the most interesting thing I found out, they don't grow them for flowers; they grow them for the bulbs.
Yes, they sell the bulbs. They do not grow them for the flowers.
Yeah, that was the revelation of the whole trip. Okay, thank you very much. Enjoy.
Thank you so much, Gene. I appreciate it. Tom, you got to hang on. We're going to go to a break, and we'll catch you in Tom and Metter Island. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you missed any of today's show, you can hear Better Lawns and Gardens on betterlawns.com, on iHeartRadio, and anywhere where you listen to podcasts, on audioboom.com, Spotify, all of them. You just Google Teresa Watkins, Better Lawns and Gardens, and it will come up. Let's go to Tom in Merritt Island. Good morning, Tom. How can I help you?
Okay, well, you had made a comment about the lychee arenose mite saying when it gets up here to where you are, which is Orlando. Well, I can tell you it's already entrenched here in the Space Coast.
Oh.
I'm on Merritt Island. My neighbor across the street, his tree was infested. He had to spray it with sulfur. I've had other multiple reports from Merritt Island and Rockledge. So the lychee arenose mite is here.
That's so sad to hear.
Yeah. And regarding pawpaws, that there are Florida has a couple of native pawpaw plants, mm-hmm. but they're not the pawpaw tree up north. That's a Latin name, Asminia triloba. That's an understory tree,
mm-hmm.
And it's an actual tree. But the pawpaws that are native Florida, there are several species, and they tend to be small bushes, and some of them don't have edible fruit, but some of them do. And the challenge with them, from what I've read, is that you pretty much have to grow them in place from seed, because because they have a very long taproot, and you can't transplant them.
No, they have a beautiful flower on them, though, and they are a favorite food of the gopher tortoise. And so they're wonderful. So thank you for that information. I'm sad to hear that the lychee mite is there. So I do appreciate you giving me an update. That's wonderful. I'll let Jeff know. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let's go to Diane in Kissimmee. Good morning, Diane.
Hi. I just a little note that we have not had rain here for more than a month.
Oh, I am so sorry. Hopefully you'll get it. So let me know next week if you get it, okay?
Okay, I will do. My question is, which I am watering, 6 foot tall by maybe 6 feet wide gardenia bush.
Uh-huh.
It is loaded with gardenias, hundreds of them.
Wonderful.
You can smell the fragrance down on the sidewalk and next door. I'd like to know, can I get a cutting, or how would I get a cutting, or how can I get more from this gardenia plant?
Oh.
Gardenia scent to me is like cat and catnip. I'd like to roll in my gardenia plant.
Okay, well, I love that. Okay, so you've got a really good, healthy gardenia tree or shrub, and what you want to do is I usually myself have about a good 50 to 60% germination rate or propagation rate when I do cuttings. So if you want one cutting or if you want one plant, then I would do like 2 to 3 cuttings, and one of those will survive. And then also multiply that by 3 to 5 if you want more cuttings. And so I would take a 8 to 10 inch cutting, cut diagonally, cut the stem diagonally right underneath a leaf node. Okay, cut diagonally underneath the leaf node, then strip the leaves of the portion that's going to be in the ground, and you want it to be in the ground, soil, for about 4 to 5 inches in the pot. Then I would water it well, put it in the shade, and keep it moist, not, saturated, but moist, and you should get some roots within 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, golly, that'd be wonderful.
Wouldn't it? And you could also put root tone on it, too, as well. That root tone will stimulate the hormone so it can, start the roots growing, and it'll keep it from getting any fungus. So
I do the cutting and then put it in soil?
Yeah, you do the cutting, put some root tone, some hormones on it, from rooting hormones on it, and then put it in the soil and in a pot. And I would just use a potting medium. I wouldn't use the ground soil.
Good. Got that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Let us know how you do it. And if you get rain next week, call me back and let me know, because I'm praying for it.
I will let you know. Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let's go to Walt in Merritt Island. Good morning, Walt. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning, Teresa. I wanted to pass along, like the gentleman earlier, the Lem lychee arenose mite is in Merritt Island and other parts of Brevard County. I've had issues with it. If you catch it early and use a micronized sulfur spray, you may be able to knock it back. But anything that's infected, you have to cut off the tree and dispose of real carefully in a bag or burn. One of the challenges with spraying is that it attacks the underside of the leaf, so you can't just spray the canopy. You have to try to get up underneath to knock back or prevent the mite from attacking other leaves.
Wow, that's just so sad. We're getting so many new ones, and it's always been that way. We always get the special pests because of our importing and exporting from our different ports of call. But I'm just sad to hear with the lychee, because it's such a beautiful tree anyway, and it gets so nice and tall. There's no way you can get up there and spray that canopy and spray a
thing. It's so easily transmitted on tools, clothes, and I think by bees too.
Oh.
So, and bees love the lychee blooms. So I think they may be moving along from plant to plant too.
Wow, that's kind of sad. Well, thank you. Do you have one?
Yeah, I do. I'm kind of treading water with it, with the intervals of a micronized sulfur spray, cutting off the infected parts, and so it's kind of holding its own. It's not flourishing, but I'm gonna keep at it and see how it goes.
Well, good for you. Thank you for calling in, you and Tom from Merritt Island. We love hearing from you. So let me know how it does, all right?
Okay. Thanks, Teresa.
Thank you. Great calls. I love learning from the callers, and they just write up on top of it, and I had not heard about the lychee mite. And we just get so many insects. They say like 100 insects a year, new insects a year that we get.
It's Florida. Welcome to Florida. And
they live here for the same reasons we do. It's nice, the summer temperatures, the sun. it's just wonderful to live here. So
speaking of, so my you know, I have the little turkey chicks.
Yes.
So as a treat, we give them the little dried worms when they go in their play area. So we're learning to they learn to transfer from sleep time to the play time. So my grandson, I handed him the bag.
Turkey poults having playtime.
They have playtime. So my grandson, I'm like, here. I'm like, we call him 715. That's his nickname. So I go, here, give him some of these worms. So he goes to put his hand in the bag, and he actually looks down, and he's like, whoa. And I'm like, they're dead. He's like, ugh. So he did the quick grab and flung them really quick and let go. I'm like, are you kidding me?
He's a boy. He should just, you know, reach in and get them.
He gets dirty. He runs our tractor equipment. He lays sod. He does everything. He doesn't like dried worms.
Well, I will. So speaking of that, this week, spiders. I am going to be posting, and I haven't had a chance to do this, the spider infestation that is going all over Leesburg and the moss, the Spanish moss. I have to show you pictures. It's going to be amazing. I'll post them today of the spider infestation. But the guys, they just don't like spiders.
Oh,
and they go, they kind of inch their way forward into bushes. And they go, oh, there's a spider. They jump back and they're brushing themselves off because they
That's
don't.
That's hysterical.
It is. And they're just like the little globe spiders. But golden orb spiders, mm-hmm. You know. But it's just funny to see them run, which I don't blame them. You know, everybody has their, you know, little, you know, kind of fears. And spiders is it for my crew.
I love it.
They don't mind snakes, or they do mind spiders. I would like to thank Trey Fromm with 3FrommDesign.com. He is a National Public Gardens designer. And I'm honored that he would even do the interview. He is just a magnificent designer. He has put me in awe so many times when I go to Longwood Gardens, like I said, the Red Butte Arboretum and Gardens in Utah, Red Butte, Utah. It was just beautiful, gorgeous. The Atlanta Botanical Garden, plus Bock Tower and the Jacksonville Gardens and Zoo. He has designed portions of those. And so get out and go to a National Public Gardens this week.
Yes.
And learn. You'll discounted prices. There'll be some days that'll be free and senior citizens discounts. So check it out. Good exercise, and the weather will be beautiful. Pray for rain. We're getting it this next week. Turn your irrigation systems off and take advantage of the rainfall. I'd also like to thank Jeff Wachalewski from South Florida, the Miami-Dade Extension Office, for helping us with the tropical fruit, the exotic varieties. And enjoy your sapote. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, thank you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to our listeners out there. And you guys are the best listeners. We love you guys so much.
And so it's great. We're going to be back next week with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. You can check out our newsletter and signing up. And you can get the podcast free. Just go to iHeartRadio and you'll never miss an episode. You don't have to get up with us at 7 o'clock in the morning. You can listen to us at noon.
That's right.
And they don't have to miss an episode at all. So thank you to all our text messages, too, and callers, like Lizzie said. I do appreciate it. Let's see. I think I have everything. We're going to have a great day. Do you have any plans for Mother's Day?
No. And the whole family asked, and I'm like, get away from me. I hate specific holidays. I hate you have to celebrate this. So happy Mother's Day.
You're a great mother. And from the Poults and me, we can just tell you, we do appreciate you, Lizzie. Thank you so much. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, makers of organic mosquito bits and dunks and organic year-round oil spray, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.